All right, I am sensitive to the time, so if I sound rushed or it feels rushed, please know I'm trying to do that for your sake. I want to cover a couple of things very quickly that should just take a minute, and then something to follow that. There we go. Okay, two things regarding our Constitution. We're making additions to the Constitution just to try to adjust. The Constitution is basically the document that has the nuts and bolts of how we do things officially. There are churches that use, is it called Robert's Rules? Is that the name of the? Yeah, Rules of Order. We don't do that. We try to have it a little more open in the way that we've been doing it. But in that, there are a couple of constitutional amendments that we do want to make. The first one is in regards to marriage. And this came, I think, originally through Glenn or somebody who recommended us adding something so that in the present firestorm of same-sex marriage and those kind of things, if we should ever get approached about either hosting a same-sex wedding or somebody coming to me personally and kind of demanding of that, and you know some of the legal stuff that's going on with that, that we would constitutionally have that covered. And it's in our confession defining what marriage is. And you can refer to that. I think it's chapter 25, if I remember correctly, the last paragraph of chapter 25 in particular. But we have to explicitly state it for legal purposes. And this is the statement that we're adding in, and just want to notify you of this. I don't have it on the screen. It says under the amendment, we will follow the scriptural definition of marriage and the teachings and practices of this church as stated in the 1689 London Baptist Confession, chapter 25, and therefore will not officiate, solemnize, perform, or host a marriage or marriage-like ceremony involving anything other than the union of one man with one woman as instituted by God. And so we're hoping that not only that will make sure that we declare where we are on that issue, but also would help us legally should something ever happen like that and somebody get ticked off at us and then come demanding that we do that for them and get into all that legal wrangle. Quickly, any questions on that? Yeah, Tony? Solemnize, just basically it's something less formal, I guess. But to make solemn or to put our imprimatur on, because imprimatur is such a better, easier word to understand than solemnize. Yes? That's a great question. So the thing we need to do, we want to do in addition to that, is address something with the identification issue, the transgender issue and all of that. We got this in sufficient enough to just get it to this meeting. We're probably going to need to make some kind of a qualifying statement like that as well, where if there's been some other things we have to work through with that. Plus, there's a final paragraph in the Westminster Confession of the same chapter that addresses divorce that I've promoted or proposed to the elders that we take a look at that, basically talking about a position on divorce and that kind of thing. But we're not there yet. I've proposed it. This is where we are for sure. We definitely need to do that, and then the issue of that chapter or that paragraph on divorce is something we're going to be discussing. But great, great point. Yeah, Randy.
One man and one woman that have been successfully pre-marriage counseled by the elders of the church?
Not necessarily, because in that case, I would... Ordinarily, that's the case. That's what I require ordinarily. But if somebody's gotten premarital counseling from somebody else that I know or trust, I don't have a problem with us hosting that under certain conditions. Whoever was involved with the hosting of the Rice wedding, that was a lot of work. It was a lot more than I was even expecting. So I don't expect to get many of those requests. I mean, not many people are knocking on our door going, man, your facility is awesome. Can we have a wedding here? But again, it's a little bit of protection if somebody gets ticked off or finds out on the internet that we have this issue. It's more that kind of thing, I think, in my thinking, that we're protecting ourselves from. Okay? All right, the second has to do with absentee voting, and this was a little bit of an experiment. We barely got the quorum this morning, or this afternoon, as far as this. So we've never had, it's not written, absentee voting was even a thing. We said that it was. And this is what we're adding to the constitutional, as a constitutional amendment. I think we really got to wrestle with this, whether this is going to work for us, because if we continue to barely make it under, I mean, there's 50% of the membership who haven't been able to be a part of this, or who's even getting ready to hear what we're getting ready to talk about. To have 50% of a church absent, maybe we need to do what we did with child protection stuff and do it during a Sunday school or something like that to try to get a higher level of participation. I see some heads nodding that would be helpful. Yes, Stefania. Yeah, that's a great idea. But we continue, I mean, it's obviously a long day, and we still have people with young ones and still have, you know, a good number of people that are be missing. It just gets more difficult as our families grow and our church grows. So we'll have to work through some of that. That's a great suggestion. So here's what we have written so far. While it is preferred that in congregational votes the members make it a priority to be at meetings in person for the sake of commitment and involvement, we realize that this is not always possible due to travel, sickness, and other circumstances. For this reason, absentee voting will be accepted if submitted to the elders prior to a congregational vote, either by physical note or email. And just as a FYI, I did not get any absentee voting. Did any of the other elders? Okay, so we've got 50% of the church that's gone. I'm not scolding anybody, but this is just, we got to work through this. We got 50% of the church that's gone that has not piped in on Eric and Ben, and we barely made it to the 50% mark. So that's what we have to figure out procedurally. However, we also want to put this qualifier. However, there may be a situation in which the elders determine that absentee voting is not ideal and therefore presence necessary. In such a case, the elders will communicate this to the church before the vote. So there might be something about church discipline or something that we'll just say, we're just not going to accept absentee voting. There's something so important for you to know, we really need you to be there if possible. And again, I understand there's families, there's sicknesses, there's travel, there's all kinds of things. And so that's not scolding anybody, but these meetings to us are really, really important. Okay, any clarifications needed on any of those, brothers? Okay. All right, which brings us to the final matter. Or any questions on that absentee voting? I didn't. Okay. All right, so here we go. And again, I'm going to intentionally try to keep this succinct, but I also don't want to rush us because this is important for us. I want to take just a couple of minutes, few minutes, and give a little bit of the history of what we're at the elders are announcing to you this morning, or this afternoon. We started, as you know, August 2nd, 1998, with a very simple view of elders and deacons and church leadership. And many of those things worked for us as a church for a number of years. And it was very intensely relational, which we continue to focus on that and have that as our emphasis. Some of the things in my particular skill set and my particular giftedness worked really well for us, or at least reasonably well in the early days of the church. But as we've continued to grow as a church, as we've continued to have new people come on board, as we continue to have less opportunity to build relationships and really the integratedness, one of the things that we've done is develop the community groups, which we're a little bit over a year old at that. And overall, for a bunch of one-year-old little community groups, I think things are going awesome. We've got places to develop, things to do in that area. But overall, just really, really encouraged by the relationships and the commitments that are being found there. Over the past several years, as God has continued to add to us, I have come to myself certain sets of crises or struggles or trying to figure out what to do with what I do and how to define what I do. And we have gone probably at least for a couple of years where things have become more clear to us. And because the model of church that we had was a certain perspective, and honestly, I did not expect for what's happening to happen, that worked for us for a number of years, at least relatively well. And what happens is like in a stress factor test, You can have a stress fracture in a piece of iron or metal that's so small you just really don't even recognize it. But under pressure, that fracture will grow and you'll begin to see that problem even more. And so I think that's some of what the Lord has brought us through over the past couple of years is some of the places in regards to gifting and abilities and giftedness have been showing themselves in some stress factors, fractures. And thankfully, we've not come to any sense of crises. We've not had major upheavals. We've not had major turnovers. We've not had a mass of people leave disaffected or frustrated or whatever. But there continue to be ministry gaps where we have really been struggling, like, okay, so how do we do this better? And a couple of factors play into our struggle with that and what I've called not getting traction. And just like being in a car where you're pressing on the accelerator and the wheel's spinning, but you're not going anywhere, that's how I felt, and I think that's how the elders have felt over the past couple of years, is just trying to figure out, why can't we get traction? We keep pushing. We put gas in. The thing's in gear. We keep pushing, and there's smoke, you know, and there's mud flying up, and you're just like, why aren't we getting anywhere with this? So a number of things have happened in God's providence over that, and one of them is just evaluating my gifts, my abilities, my strengths, my weaknesses, the fact that I'm the full-time guy, and the other three men who have served over these years have full-time jobs or have, you know, their own families that they're dealing with. And so even if there were giftedness in the other three men, their capacity to expand and use those gifts that would have helped us as a church and helped me, they've just not been able to do that. So we, as we announced a few months ago, begin to struggle with, what do we do with that? Where do we find the gift or gifts that are needed to develop the relationships and give some direction and give some guidance and do those kind of things? So, I mean, and as you can imagine, the questions are, as far as how to do that, well, Stephen, you do it. You know, you're the full-time guy. Let's have you do it. What quickly became clear is, as I tried to do that, the wheel went deeper in the mud, because I've recognized that we've recognized, even through our own studies and listening to things and just thinking about how things work, that if you're not good at something and if you're not gifted at something, if you work hard enough on it, you may become mediocre in it, but you'll never be great at it. And so you need gifts in those particular areas to fill out things that I just don't have. And I'll just say that what we're presenting you today, I am fully identifying with and supportive of, to recognize that we need a team and I'm not the guy, and have recognized that for years. And I have a special set of skills that I will come and find you, for those of you who've seen that movie. I have a specific set of skills that I would do best to focus on and continue to develop and those kind of things. And I think they have to do with preaching, teaching, the counseling dimension. But I came to grips with the reality that my greatest failure as a leader are these skills called leadership. And it took a while for a number of different reasons to recognize that. One was a hyper-spiritualized view of church ministry. One of them was the one man, the omnicompetence of the man. You know, the man of God should be able to do all of these things. So I had to, through a number of iterations, work through some of those solutions that ended up not being solutions at the end. So we asked you several months ago to pray for us as we thought about that. Some of you came to me and were very nervous about that. the idea that there would be a vision pastor that we'd bring from the outside and suddenly would be this guy that would change the church made some of you very, very nervous. The idea that we would hire from somebody from the outside made you very, very nervous, which we totally get, we totally understand. So we continue to work through different possibilities. We continue to look inwardly. We continue to think about the connections we have with other pastors and other churches and so on. And what we are presenting to you today is not the solution. And so let me emphasize that very heavily. This is not capital T-H-E, the solution, We believe this is one component of a part of a solution to, in the words of a book, The Trellis and the Vine, we want relationships, we want ministry, we need development in certain areas, in ways, in giftedness that I'm not good at. And some of you have known for years that I'm not good at follow-up. I'm not good at setting agendas to look forward. I'm not good at answering questions like, well, where are we headed as a church? What are our purposes? What are our goals? There are a lot of these things that I'm just really terrible at because I work with my head down in the moment. And we have felt that part of what we need is a solution where those gifts are lacking in me, a solution that will help supply the giftedness in those particular areas to work as a team, to work in complement with my gifts because of my own inadequacies, our inadequacies as an eldership. So what we're presenting today is a part of that solution. It is not our golden calf. It is not our, this is going to fix everything. And as a matter of fact, most of what happens on day-to-day is not going to change, I think, significantly. But we're going to look at some different areas that we can develop for the good of the church, for the spiritual health of the church, and ultimately for the glory of Christ. So now I'm going to invite Eric to come and present to you that segment of the solution.
First off, just want you to know it is an honor to serve all of you. I'm sure Ben would echo the same. So thank you for giving us that opportunity and privilege. And as Stephen said, cognizant of the time, I know we've been here a while, but this is a big deal in the life of our church. So I will seek to move quickly and succinctly, but it may still take a little bit of time. But we'll go as quickly as we can. So as Stephen said, we identified months ago, essentially, we need another full-time hire. We need somebody to come alongside him to help push the individual ministries of our church forward that complements his gifts. So I wanted to give you just a brief snapshot of the qualifications that we were looking for in this person. We wanted someone with certain abilities, and these are things that Pastor Ben did a great job documenting on our behalf. And we wanted someone with great organization and administration skills for prioritizing, planning, and successfully implementing our ministry plans. Notice this is all planning, not in the moment. This is type vision, working, implementation. We wanted someone with excellent verbal and written communication skills because there's going to be a lot of interaction with people and with the eldership and the church itself. We wanted someone who had self-discipline to work towards a goal with endurance while yet graciously working through ambiguity, obstacles, disagreements. When you work with people, you're going to have ambiguity, obstacles, and disagreements. And we wanted someone who could also work independently, but yet at the same time ask for help, for clarity, for direction when needed because they're going to be working with the elders. Those are the abilities. But even beyond that, we wanted somebody who had high character. I mean, what good is it if somebody has all these skills, but that yet they're not a moral person, they're not pursuing after the Lord? So we sought a person who's closely abiding with Christ through the word, through prayer, who's maintaining a good Christian testimony in their home, in the church, and in the world. We wanted a man who is evidently pursuing holiness and that we could see its fruit. So with those qualifications in mind, after much prayer and after much consideration and conversation amongst the elders, we asked Tyler Krug to accept this position, and he enthusiastically agreed, which is excellent news, we believe, for our church and for our eldership. Yes, I think clapping is appropriate. I think you would all echo with me that we have clearly seen Tyler's gifting in so many ways. Think about his ministries here in the pulpit and his knowledge and handling of the word. Many of you probably know that Tyler has a BA in philosophy from the University of Alabama, and then he had his Master of Divinity at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has shown himself to have knowledge of the word, to be faithful to the word, and have his conscience committed to the word. So that has been excellent. But outside of what you've seen here, many of you probably know the other things he's done in our church. He leads a community group, has for a long time. He led a ministry to our preteen group in the church for quite a while. The Lord has gifted Tyler immensely in counseling, and he has been involved with a variety of people in our church, formally and informally, in counseling. And really from the time the Krugs came amongst us, I think you can all echo with me that Tyler and Shanti sought to connect themselves and engage with us immediately. You know, there's some people who come into our church and we're seeking to pull along. There are others that come in and put their shoulder to the plow immediately. And that's the way they were, connecting in relationships and talking with us. How can I help? What ministries can I be involved with, which has been a great breath of fresh air. And that's just what they've done here for a few years. Tyler has history of doing this in other settings, throughout seminary and other churches. That stuff within our church. But we've also seen in his work outside of the church, him meeting many of these exact same qualifications. He's worked at Dell and has been extremely successful managing a group of 10 people, who, from what I understand, love and respect and follow him well. And in that, his job requires many of the things I'm mentioning, planning, implementation, self-discipline, etc. He has been successful in already doing those in another sphere, somewhat informally at church, and we believe to crosswalk here into our body as well. As Stephen said, Tyler is not perfect. So reiterate that again. He is not the solution. He's not a savior. Oh, great, everything's going to be perfect and move just the way it wanted. We don't believe that at all. That would be naive. But the Lord has clearly gifted him and has providentially brought him to our church, I believe, for such a time as this. So we praise and thank the Lord for that. So what will Tyler be doing? What will the position be called? I think you could all guess and know what it is. I threw this together very early this morning just to try to... Is it going to pull up, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Hit the play arrow.
Got it. Okay. So this was a statement, and Ben drafted most of this language, which is excellent. Thank you, Ben. The purpose of the ministry coordinator, which will be his title, the position, is the development and deployment of ministry initiatives in coordination with the elders of RBC Nashville. Tyler is not yet an elder, and he will not be an elder right now. That's not necessary in this position. He is working with the eldership directly under our oversight to implement these tasks, but yet he will bear much responsibility in them. So as far as his specific duties are concerned, they're certainly going to grow and adapt over time, but with their key components, we drafted several things. I want to move through these. It may sort of feel like you're drinking from a fire hydrant, but hopefully we can touch these in a way and you're seeing them written that'll be like, okay, this is what the elders are expecting of him, what we want him to do. So, duties of ministry coordinator. The first, administration, organization, research, planning, implementation, and evaluation of ministry initiatives as directed by the elders. Those are a lot of words. But really, this is the heart of what we are wanting Tyler to do. And most everything else I talk about falls underneath this. We're wanting somebody who can come in and with the eldership fill this hole of with time and resources of moving forward the ministries of the church. If you think of a seed of a plan in a particular area that we want to see brought to maturation, this is the life cycle we want to go through. Someone with their administration can organize, they can research, they can plan, then they can implement, they can evaluate, they can see ministry brought to its fruition. That's what we have struggled with resources and giftedness as a church. And we're hoping Tyler can help us. So that's the first and I would probably say primary thing we are looking for him to do. Second, development of written plans and strategies to be considered, altered, and approved for ministry implementation by the elders. As I said earlier, Tyler is in submission to us and working with us. So one thing we want him to do is bring to us persuasive proposals to move forward then that we say, yes, we agree, we disagree, let's change this. And with the approval and blessing of the elders, we will see ministries implemented. It's really just an expansion of what we said before. And you may think, well, what kind of ministries? What are you talking about? A lot of it is not different, really, from what we already are as a church. We want Tyler to come alongside and help beef up our community groups, our children's Sunday school classes, the community outreach and things we've done, whether it's Chippington or something else. And really, any ministry to people inside or outside our body you can think of. Ministry to young people, ministry to women, ministry to men, whatever it is, helping get initiatives, work within the body to move those things forward. So he will develop written plans and strategies to that end. Third thing, equipping the saints for multiplication of ministry, including identification, development, and training of church members in their gifts and roles in the context of RBCN's ministries. As Stephen mentioned earlier, we read the book Trellis and the Vine, and our church has always had a really good vine, I think. Healthy people clinging to the Lord, loving the Lord. But for a vine to really continue to grow, particularly once it's getting large, which we've gotten larger, it needs a trellis to thrive. We are hoping here that we will see that trellis developed largely through that word multiplication of ministry. Tyler is not going to be any more than the elders, other elders are, a one-man band. Our role is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and we're hoping Tyler will be an arm in doing that so that all the church will be equipped in these ministries. It's not Tyler doing them. It's helping him train, develop, implement through us as a body. That's the third thing. Okay, fourth thing. These came up all together. Assisting Pastor Stephen in the development of weekly plans and goals for the elders and for RBCN in alignment with longer-term ministry plans and goals. As we've said throughout, we are looking for direction. We are looking for movement in the ministries of the church. So Tyler and Steve are going to be joined at the hip, helping develop these plans and goals. And the rest of us in the eldership will be evaluating the success of these goals. We're going to track them, give accountability, course correction, etc. The next thing you see is occasional teaching and preaching. We have all benefited from Tyler ministering, and that's something we want him to continue to do. It's not a flagship of what we're asking him to do, but by no means will we want to keep him from that. We're hoping he can be in the pulpit and maybe even more frequently than he has been before. The next thing you'll see here, participation in pastoral oversight of church members and in counseling with members and occasionally non-members. The Lord has gifted Tyler with great discernment. We've seen that. And he has been able to wisely apply the word to people individually. And although he will not be an elder, he is going to be intimately involved with the spiritual health of our congregation. So for us as an eldership, it makes sense for him to come alongside us in oversight, not all the time, but sometimes, and continuing the counseling he's already been doing informally with many people. We want that to be a role of his as the ministry coordinator. The last thing you'll see on this slide is to work with elders, and this is really buttressing what I just said, work with elders in overseeing the spiritual needs of the body and the integrity of the ministry as it relates to the church's purpose and values. What we are wanting Tyler to do is to work towards the maturation of the sheep and the salvation of the lost. It involves the oversight of spiritual health. With us, under us, alongside us, but that's what he's doing. All right, just a couple more things. Participating in weekly, monthly, quarterly meetings with the elders. As most of you probably know, as the elders, we get together every Wednesday morning. Then, in addition to just oversights and Sunday meetings, we have at least an elders meeting once a month on a Sunday afternoon. And then once a quarter, we have an all-day quarterly meeting. Since Tyler is going to be our second hire full-time, it makes a lot of sense for him to be alongside us. So he will be in these meetings with us, knowing much of what's going on and helping implement those things. And the last thing, providing a weekly personal accountability report to the elders so the elders can evaluate, mentor, and provide care for Tyler and his family. As I previously said, the spiritual health of Tyler as a ministry coordinator is just as important as his abilities and as his service. And without spiritual health, that service will not be fruitful. So, you know, we seek to do that with one another. We are probably more pointed as elders in oversight of Stephen, and we anticipate just overlaying what we do for Stephen with Tyler. So there is an expectation of monitoring his spiritual health for his good, for Shanti's good, and for Will's good. That's a summary of the duties. We're going to have a Q&A time here just in a minute. Let me give you a couple other qualifiers. We have committed as a church to this position for at least 2 years. Notice I said at least 2 years. It's by no means a cap. One of the reasons we threw that out is we did not want Tyler and Shanti to think, great, we're going to sign up for this, and it may last 6 weeks or 6 months. No, 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 we're in, we're committing to this, to the compensation, everything, for at least 2 years. We also wanted to have a specific time frame, you know, for evaluation, consideration, rather than just this open-ended position that goes on forever. But our hope is that it would go on forever. You know, we're hoping that this will be a relationship that will last far past 2 years, but that's an initial commitment that we all have towards one another. As for a start date, Tyler has already talked to Dell, and we are looking for him to start in around August 7th. I believe that's the end of another quarter that he is finishing at Dell, or a week later. Yeah, it's going to be in or around there, maybe a week later. It may have a gap in between. So that brings us to maybe talking briefly about compensation. I wanted to go ahead and bring that up because this is a big deal for our church. It's going to be a big impact upon our budget. And yeah, so let's go through that briefly. As most of you probably know, Glenn is very good at researching things. So as we often do when something needs to be researched, we tap him on the shoulder and say, what can you come up with? And we get a lot of good info, a lot of good info. So in that, he did. He researched, got a book about compensation and to help benchmark positions such as this with churches our size throughout the country so we could get an understanding of what would be a good number. We also took into account what Stephen makes and Stephen's experience with 20 years and Tyler coming in, and we came up with a number, largely following recommendations that Glenn gave us. So you can see that package here on the screen. This is just disclosure, since this is a big change to our budget, we wanted you to know. A couple things to point out, and I'll just go through these briefly. The salary amount of $55,500 includes health insurance. And health insurance has become drastically more expensive when you buy it outside of an employer health plan. Stevens went up from last year like $7,600 to something beyond that. I don't know what the number is, but it's higher. Kimberly probably knows. So just baking that in, we want to make sure they are cared for. So that, as Glenn presented in our annual budget meeting, we cannot pay directly for health insurance any longer underneath Obamacare. So that is baked into that salary number. For them to take that money, as Glenn said, they may not buy health insurance, they may just take a great big vacation, but that's what we're anticipating they would likely do with it. So we also baked in here a retirement of $2,500, dental insurance of $750, life insurance of $500, continuing education of $750, for a total compensation package of $60,000. In addition to these things, we will be paying as a church the employer's portion of payroll taxes, so that's not listed here. And just as we do for Stephen, we'll provide him tools for the trade, which there aren't a whole lot of those in a pastoral or ministry coordinator position, but they do involve computer and software, et cetera. So there will be a few other expenditures that aren't listed here. One thing to point out, you probably don't all know, but even with our budget at the beginning of the year, we were budgeting in a little bit of a deficit, and we are still running a little bit of a deficit. This will put us in more of a deficit. But a couple great things. One, we have a lot of savings. So we know that even if income does not pick up, this is something that we can cover. But our hope is that the Lord will continue to bless our church. We added, I don't know, 20-something members last year, which for our church is an astronomical growth within 1 year. And that's something we all covenant together to do, is that we will tithe. And so we are hopeful people will continue to tithe, and that maybe this deficit, even with this additional expense, will disappear. That's what we would love to see happen. But regardless, at least with a 2-year commitment, we are able to cover that, and we're hopeful for much longer. So mention that. Let me hit, just before questions, maybe a couple other qualifiers of things we went through in this process. We didn't just talk to Tyler. We talked to Shanti, his lovely wife. And, you know, God has said it's not good for man to be alone. And thankfully, God gave Shanti to Tyler as his helpmate. And she is behind him and for this, thankfully, and excited about it. So we've been engaged with her, and she's on board. I ask y'all to pray for Tyler, for Shanti, and for Will during this time of transition. We have joked as an eldership that we have great retention as an employer. We have lost no one in 20 years. But that being said, we've only had one employee in 20 years. So he's taking a risk with us. Tyler's good at what he does at Dell, and he can continue to be good at that and be successful. And him coming here, it is a risk. So we spent quite a bit of time trying to talk him out of the job and make sure he knew what he was getting into. Let's pray the Lord blesses that, and that there would be, that risk would evaporate for them. Also, as a qualifier, I want to state that our goal in this as a church is not that we become some large church full of programs. When I say ministries, don't equate that with beefed up programs. We love what we are. As a church, we don't really want to change that. We simply want to be more of it. We want to be what we are better. So this is to seek to increase that. We're not seeking to come in here and you're going to wake up one day and Tyler's want to change all this stuff and, you know, something crazy. That won't happen. You know, he has always been submissive to us. That's where our heart is. We are just wanting to see the flock ministered to more effectively than we've been able to as an eldership. Pray for our church during this time of transition. As I said before, and as Stephen has said, this is a big change. We have only had one hire for 20 years. We're going into greater deficit spending. There are big changes, but it is also a very large opportunity that we are very excited about. But we know that unless the Lord builds the house, he who labors, labors in vain. And so we can make all the decisions in the world, but unless the Lord breathes on it, this is going to be futile. So please pray for the power of the Spirit to give unity and peace amongst the eldership with Tyler, that we can work well together, that we will see that amongst our body in accepting the change. And as we come to questions now, even if you have something you want to ask or don't feel comfortable, please come to us. We know this is a big change, and there are many people who may be watching this video who weren't here to hear this and may be hearing it from other people. Please come and ask us questions. But before I open up to all y'all, other elders, did I miss anything? Anything you want to qualify or add? Okay. Okay. So, what questions do you have? Yeah, we can bring up John, Steve, and Ben, just everybody. Does have to be me answering.
I try not to say much in meetings like this, but I just have one question, and that's so Tyler will not be an elder. So in this two-year period, if there is, I think Stephen has usually called it a groundswell towards eldership for Tyler, or is this going to keep him from that, or just at this time is how you feel to start?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
By no means. We would love for that to be the end. Yeah. Good question. What else? Yeah, so Rob was asking, though Tyler's not an elder now, that's not a prerequisite for this position, but would this two-year period preclude him from becoming an elder? If next, you know, time we come around in January, every single one of you puts his name forward for an elder, you know, by no means. We would welcome that. That was his question. I think Raylan had her hand up. Yeah.
You mentioned that there would be a weekly accountability report. I was just curious if there would be, if Shanti's input would be taken into account on those weekly reports, being the one who would be closest to him and have the, you know, close input as to the accountability that you might be holding him to.
Right, right. At present, our plan is not for her to be adding to it every week. Even with Kimberly or others, we try to talk to them periodically, but that's a great idea. Maybe we will put something more regular. But we have told Shanti we welcome her input. We will be asking her periodically, like we do with our other wives, and the oversight we give to each other for sure. What's going on? Is Tyler, you know, doing a good job and pursuing the Lord? But great recommendation. Anything y'all would add to that? Okay. What other questions? Okay. Well, great. Maybe you just are wanting to get out, or it's just such a slam dunk, and you're thinking, great, about time. Here we go. You know, who knows?
Please thank the Jacksons and Rachel, who have been in this room for several hours.
Yeah. And I was clapping because Tyler's coming on, not because we're
leaving.
I think that's great.
That's a good clarification. Yeah.
All right, great. Well, let me close this in prayer. Yeah, Tyler, why don't you come up? Let's pray for you now, and then we'll depart. Let's pray. Lord, we are humbled by your faithfulness and your goodness to us over 20 years as a church. We are excited to see growing pains. We are excited to see souls that have been saved, Lord, and what you have done in answering prayers in our midst. We are not deserving of any of it, Lord. Thank you for that. We thank you for giving clarity and understanding over these last months and years regarding Stephen's giftedness, our church, our eldership, and what we need. And thank you for sending Tyler, Ashanti, and Will to us. Lord, we pray that you would bless us all in this transition. Please give Tyler wisdom to enter in boldly and submissively and in a balanced way to know what to do and on first day on the job and what this looks like. Please bless him in transition of just him working at home and practical things that will change. Lord, please help Shanti in support of him and Will, and even knowing there will be times Tyler's pulled away and can't help as much with Will on a Sunday, Lord, that you would bless her in her labors. We pray that they would not grow weary in well-doing, but that this would be a delight to serve and to labor. Lord, thank you for giving them hearts that love Jesus so much they are willing to sacrifice and to give for his glory. We pray that you would help us as a church to not grow lax in our pursuit of you. We heard good words today that we all need in our souls. Lord, give us, we ask, our daily bread. And we know we need you spiritually. We need you for our physical needs. And we thank you for providing for us. Thank you for giving us elders. Thank you for giving us Tyler to come along in this position. Thank you, Lord, for the many who serve in ways without a formal title. Lord, you have blessed our church with so many wonderful gifts. Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking care of your people and giving us the spiritual food and the physical food that we need. Please bless us as we go and watch over us again this week. In Christ's name, amen.